everybody. Welcome back to Ping. This is episode 177. 177 weeks of us bringing you all the hot stories that Microsofties are pinging each other about. And included in that sort of weekly wrap-up, of course, is interaction with you, the viewer, our compadres. And we had some really good interaction after last week's Question of the Week, Paul. Last week we asked them if they had ever really engaged in sort of a battle of technologies where you're trying to convince someone to switch to a different technology, you know, and get into sort of that passionate, heated argument. And we got some really good responses. Particularly I liked D-Tower, who, you know, he talks about using Bing versus using other search engines, right? And notably he says that his wife really, really enjoys the Bing homepage, which I have to admit is a great draw. I mean, do people that you speak to enjoy the Bing homepage, the image on the homepage?
Yeah, that's something that really it seems obvious in hindsight, but kind of surprised me at the time where I was like, okay, you know, search is something you want to do quickly, but now I realize that people just like seeing beautiful and interesting imagery, and the way that they tie it into search, I think, is very well done. So it no longer surprises me that people really love that feature.
Yeah, absolutely. I actually have the images on the Bing homepage randomly rotate as my desktop background. Back in the day before I had Windows 8, well, I still use it on the desktop, but you know what I mean. Right,
yeah,
Paul?
Totally. Yeah. I'm picking up what you're putting down.
All right, right. Anyway, so he goes on to say that even though his wife has tried the challenge, I think it's called Bing It On, where they compare it, and even though she preferred Bing, she still doesn't want to switch, which just goes to show you can't teach an old dog new tricks.
Yeah, and some people are just creatures of habit. I know there are some pretty significant people in my life whose names will not be named that are very averse to change, even if everything is unambiguously better off. Like, you could list off the 5 or 10 things that you care about, and like all 5 or 10 could be better in some way, shape, or form with almost zero downsides, and they just don't like change.
Yeah, I mean, I'm one of those people, Paul. I don't really like change. So it takes me a while, in case you've been watching this over the years, to sort of come around to and adjust to things. But when I then try to evangelize the change, which is usually for the better, to friends and family, and they're reluctant, I get very frustrated, because why won't they listen to me? But yeah, it's a tough job. It's a tough job for anyone trying to get people to switch from something they're used to doing. So I do not envy the position of anyone in our commercials or making our PR or marketing campaigns, because it's tough. It's a very tough thing.
Yep.
In other news, Paul, I think there was a request for you to show more cleavage.
Stop the program!
I know, I'm wearing a deep V neck.
Are you?
Yep. So
look at you.
I figured that I could increase the sexiness of this episode for
right
a little
on.
Bit. Maybe I'll lean forward into the camera occasionally and see.
Ask and you shall receive. All right, let's start the show.
Let's do it.
All right, Paul, so last week we talked about the new Facebook beta application, which is available and looking for testers for Windows Phone, Windows Phone 8. And that is wonderful, going strong. Have you had a chance to use it?
I have not had a chance to use it. I don't have a Windows Phone 8.
Oh, well, we'll have to get you one because the experience is divine.
And I'm done
in
with
fact,
that.
So much so that Facebook is actually asking Microsoft to get rid of all of the other Facebook applications, sort of third-party developed Facebook applications that are out there. You know, we didn't have an official Facebook app for quite a while. And now that we do, Facebook wants all these little, what are they called? Impersonators. This is the real thing, homie. Step off.
Yeah, I think that there's a lot of good and bad things about this situation. I think that it's awesome that Facebook is finally investing in building a native app for the Windows Phone platform. And from what I've seen on Facebook from my friends that have Windows Phone 8s is that they absolutely love the new Facebook app, especially compared to the old Facebook app for Windows Phone. So that's awesome. I think it's also great that Facebook recognizes that there were niches that were being filled, even though there was a Facebook app for Windows Phone, and there were third-party developers that were trying to improve the ecosystem by filling in those little pieces of functionality, like the 41 unofficial and clone Facebook apps.
Yeah, but they literally they have the Facebook name and the Facebook logo, so it's really deceiving. Like, I agree that they shouldn't really be able to such copyright infringement.
Right, so that's where I think that it also is kind of I'm on the fence about. Like, I agree you can't, you know, infringe copyrights or trademarks, so perhaps instead of taking those apps down, they should be given the option of rebranding them, or similar to like when you have a Twitter parody account, you can use somebody else's name so long as you're very clear in the description that this is a parody account and this is not actually Will Ferrell.
Right, 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 right. Yeah, I mean, that's definitely one option, you know, and it's interesting because I know when we talked about sort of the naming structure for Windows 8 applications, that, you know, they were really sort of tightening their belts about how they were going to allow things to be named, that there was only going to be one app named this, you know, and not a million of them. So, because like I know that there's like 30 different flashlight apps, you know. And so I think it's very confusing, and I like the idea of streamlining things. So there really should only be one Facebook app, and then, you know, like you said, the rest can be called Facebook by Paul, or,
right,
you know, whatever it is that clearly lets people know this has Facebook functionality, it's my version of Facebook, but it's not the official Facebook app, and they should be able to use the logo.
Right, yeah, I mean, it needs to follow the same types of, you know, fair use policies and the ways that the Facebook logo is allowed to be used on, you know, the Facebook terms of service. So if they say you can use the logo in these cases, so long as it fits into those cases, you should be fine. But yeah, I think you said it perfectly, so I'm not going to repeat it.
Yeah, and then, you know, then there's something to be said for like, okay, so we didn't have an official Facebook app, but clearly people wanted a Facebook app. So here go these third-party developers filling the need, helping out people like you and I, giving us what we asked for, and now they are to be shunned. So I would be a little annoyed if I was, you know, filling a demand and then told, no more for you. You know, the big monopoly comes and takes over and crushes the little guy.
Yeah, and that's where I think that so long as the messaging is fine, they give a chance to these third-party developers to resubmit under a non-Facebook-branded app, then I think all should be well.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting to see how it fares, too, because the Facebook app will be free, so why would anyone download anything but the official free Facebook app? But we'll see how it plays out.
There's something called Fourth and Mayor, which is an unofficial Foursquare app for the Windows Phone, which just works way better than the Foursquare app has. So that's something where...
Well, that's a problem right there. If the unofficial apps work better than the official app, then...
Well, I think it was some guru who knew Silverlight inside and out and knew all these performance tweaks and really cared about location-based services. So he built the app. But yeah, I agree. It's unfortunate when you have, you know, some of the hottest startups in tech that may not be investing appropriately in the Windows Phone platform. And it's awesome to see that Facebook has now come around and put their time into the platform.
Cool. Right on. All right, Paul, it seems to always make headlines when someone very high up in Microsoft either leaves or is newly appointed. And this is a headline which I'm really excited to report on because we have actually announced and placed Microsoft's first female CFO, our first woman chief financial officer, as I think his name is Peter, right? Peter Klein?
Peter Klein's the guy
Peter
that was
Klein,
on the out.
On the way out, Amy Hood ushering in a new era of womanly financial love.
Yep. Yep, she'll be accompanied by Lisa Brummel, who has been the chief people officer at Microsoft, who's running the HR department. And I think that this will be kind of cool. I mean, I think I can't wait for the day until all this, you know, equality is finally equal in every way, shape, and form, so that we don't need to think that it's out of the ordinary for a C-level executive to be a woman. But we're not there yet, so we should applaud the progress.
Absolutely. And it's interesting that the other person sort of up for the job, also a woman.
Really?
Yeah.
Who else was up for the job?
It looked like it was between Amy Hood and Tammy Reller. from Windows. So it's, I mean, it's great to see, obviously, two women duking it out, or however you want to say it, but you know, that women are taking such great positions in the finance and the business sector, things that, you know, ages ago might have been typically considered a male-dominated industry. And now, you know, here we are, charging forward, taking the lead.
Absolutely.
Right on. All right, Paul, so now that Amy Hood is in the hood, and we're, let's see what she's going to do. Let's see what purchases she's going to make and which, where she's going to take this company on a financial basis. And one of the things that a lot of people are saying is in the queue about to happen is that we're going to buy the assets from Nook. So Barnes & Noble Nook, that Microsoft is set to purchase all of those assets for just $1 billion.
Yeah, it's a pretty hot rumor right now. So hot that the trading for Barnes & Noble has gone up, you know, 25% after hours, and it's up a net of 22% today so far. And this is really interesting because Microsoft had a joint venture with Barnes & Noble from, I think, 2 or 3 years ago. We reported it on Ping, where they put in, I think Microsoft put in $300 million, and that, I think, helped Microsoft start understanding the ebook and the content business more closely. And now the rumor is that Microsoft wants to take all of those assets for a total of $1 billion. So it's a pretty big deal.
Yeah, it is a big deal, and it's interesting to see if we do acquire those assets, you know, what we'll do with them and how we'll turn that into something profitable. But I know people were sort of in shock when we went to purchase Skype, you know, I believe also for $1 billion or some amount of money that
that was like $8 billion.
Okay, so some just an enormous amount of money that I can't comprehend, but in obviously the world of Microsoft and leading huge technology companies, that is an okay amount to spend. And I think that the purchase of Skype was a great decision. So hopefully this purchasing of the Nook assets will also be a great decision, and it'll make my stock prices go up.
Yeah, I'm really interested to see what will come of this. Like, is it that Microsoft will have will they get into the e-ink devices similar to Kindles out there, or will they be folding more content into the, you know, the Windows stores and marketplaces where you can then have, you know, different types of ebooks on your slates, on your phones. I'm really interested to see what this $1 billion will buy them. And
yeah, absolutely, especially when you think of the inclusion of maybe like smart glass, where you've got all these other ways to acquire and look at information while you're watching all your multiple screens. Who knows? Sky's the limit, really.
Yeah.
All right, and our final story, the headline, you know, Microsoft beats Facebook always grabs my attention. And this time, apparently what we've beat Facebook and several, lot of other companies in is the recruiting process for college students. Microsoft has moved up in terms of where college students want to be employed when they graduate, especially business students. Other companies high on the list, Disney and Nike, and obviously Apple, Google, but we beat out Facebook, which is really interesting. And you know what even more interesting, Paul?
What's that?
I've worked at now Microsoft and Disney, so apparently I know how to pick them.
Yeah. You want to come work at Mithley Studios and get us in there in the top 25?
It depends what your work-life balance is, because I don't think you get out of that little cave very often.
No, not so much. It's wonderful. Yeah, so there's an annual survey by Universum USA, and they talked to over 75,000 students, about 21,000 of which were business majors. And they found, just like Laura said, all of these great insights on where they would like to work. And it doesn't really surprise me that Microsoft's in the top 25, like having been in a business curriculum and knowing the types of events that Microsoft throws and the way that their recruiting process is, as well as being able to get an internship before you graduate and then being able to get a full-time job. Like, it's so incredibly smooth compared to the recruiting processes of other companies. So I think that makes it really easy to, if you're transitioning to an area like Seattle from the Midwest or East Coast or some foreign country, having had a 3-month internship, and then getting an offer before you leave during your internship summer makes it really, really easy to go back, and it's just a phenomenal experience.
Yeah, and I think, Paul, that you would agree, having once been a softie, it's a really fabulous place to work. I thought Disney was a really great place to work, and so is Microsoft. And the thing that kids are looking for these days is really, obviously, they want the paycheck, and they want innovative products, but they want that work-life balance, like I mentioned earlier. You know, we're not in a time anymore where you need to come to work from 9 to 5 and sit at your desk and pound at the hours, because essentially, you know, we're kind of always working, we're always connected, and having a more flexible schedule like that is really what people are looking for. I know it's what I'm looking for.
Yeah, and that was one of the things that I loved in my last year or so of being at Microsoft, with my team being based in Shanghai, and I was the last one remaining in Seattle. I got to work from basically anywhere in the world for a good portion of that last year, so that was a phenomenal thing that you generally wouldn't be able to get at many other companies. But the tech industry is awesome, and Microsoft's pretty flexible in the work-life options.
Yeah, absolutely. You know where I worked when I graduated college, Paul?
Where did you work? Were you a barista?
A barista of alcohol, Paul. It's called Hogs and Heifers, New York City Meatpacking District. I'm just saying, they did some pretty hardcore recruiting to get me, and you probably owned your own company or something.
Yeah. Pretty much. No, right. That was high school.
All right, everybody, that wraps up another fun-filled, action-packed episode of Ping. Thank you guys for watching. And as always, we encourage you to comment either on things that we've talked about, things that you'd like us to talk about, or things you never want us to talk about again, or shirts you'd like Paul to wear. Anything really is good. And we usually end with a question of the week, and today is no different. So with the last story, we talked about these kids from college, not kids, or the kids these days, you know, these emerging youth from college coming to work for Microsoft. So we wanted to hear about interesting, funny, quirky jobs you might have had that either set you off on your path towards your current career, or maybe was just an obstacle in the way of your current career. Paul, will you share something with us embarrassing next week?
I'm sure every week I will share something embarrassing.
I have my list of embarrassing jobs is longer than my list of not embarrassing jobs, so.
Yeah, all my jobs have been pretty awesome.
Yeah, that's good for you. All right, follow me at Elfoy.
And me at Paul Nest.
We'll see you next week.